This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong. Joining me on the line today is Samad Sharif, Country Director for Subway Southeast Asia and Hong Kong Macau, to discuss how Subway's been driving this region to keep eating fresh throughout the pandemic.
Hello, all listeners. My name is Samad. I'm with Subway Singapore's office. I actually oversee both Southeast Asia, Hong Kong, and Macau for all the business functions. I've been with Subway now about 2.5 years exactly. I actually came on board with them in July 2018.
Well, obviously, I think everyone kind of knows what Subway is. You guys essentially sell sandwiches that you go through this whole method of customizing what you want in terms of your fillings and your toppings and even your bread choice as well. Let's focus a bit more today on how Subway works, since I'm pretty sure it's a general knowledge what Subway is, right? So you guys operate using a franchising model. Tell me a little bit about that. And in terms of Subway in Southeast Asia, how many franchisees you guys currently have?
Okay, you're absolutely right, Christine. I think worldwide, we are 100% franchise. We generally don't own company stores. In Southeast Asia, at this present moment, we have about 520 stores total in all the countries. And generally, each franchisee owns somewhere between 2 to 3 stores. So we have about close to maybe about 250 franchisees across Southeast Asia. Literally, I think across the world, we currently run about 44,000 restaurants of Subway around the world.
Obviously, you know, we can't talk about pretty much anything these days without mentioning, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. Has that at all affected, you know, your franchisees, and in what way?
Definitely, Christine. I think for us, the challenge has been sustaining the business. You know, as you have mentioned, COVID impacts all industries, food and beverage especially, with the closures, especially in Malaysia, the MCO, where our consumers or our guests are actually not able to visit us. A lot of our revenue has actually, a lot of our activities has been to third-party delivery. Generally with that, our guests will actually miss the ability to actually see what our sandwich artists can produce for them in the store itself. Mm. So I think that's one of the key changes that most guests do not get to experience, I think.
Mm. And have any franchisees been unable to support their stores, especially since, as you mentioned, a lot of countries, especially in the Asian region, are in some sort of a lockdown?
You're right. We do have some instances of franchisees not being sustainable. But from a brand standpoint, we offer whatever support that we can, including recently last year, we in fact deferred payments on a slew of our royalty and our advertising fund payments in order to help the franchisees. We also offer help giving them advice, support on how they actually can do better in their markets, especially, for example, like Malaysia now. We actually offer support in marketing, operations, and even if need to, we will actually offer support to talk to the landlords as well.
Wow. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Now, moving on a little bit from the effect of COVID-19 to just essentially the effect of using a franchising model in the first place, right? I think one interesting thing, you know, not just for Subway, but for any company that uses franchises, how exactly do you make sure that you maintain a level of quality across the board?
Wow, that's a very good question, Christine. I think for us, from the first store that we started, which is actually in 1965, when the first Subway started with the founder, Mr. Fred DeLuca, Subway has actually been very consistent to processes, to our own methods, to our own engagement with the franchisee to make sure that they serve the best product, right? This is also in line with our procurement, our supply chain, where we actually get the best product in order to serve that to our guests. Right. Our franchisees will actually have to follow what we call our own operations manual, where it actually lays down the exact methods, the exact quantity of each ingredient that goes onto a sub, and so on and so forth. So that operations manual actually constitute the whole slew of how you actually run a restaurant in the Subway world.
I see. Yeah. I think it's safe to say that the MCO and the lockdown, yes, has, you know, been detrimental to many businesses, but it's also sparked a slew of people who are interested in pursuing entrepreneurship in some way, shape or form. A lot of the time, traditionally, that is in starting their own business entirely, you know, with their own original ideas and stuff like that. But there is also, of course, the option of becoming a franchisee. So for Subway, how does one go about that?
Absolutely, Christine. Thank you. I think the Subway model works this way. In each particular country, we actually appoint what we call business development agents. These agents are an extension of Subway in the country itself. Any franchisee or any potential franchisee that wants to open a store or wants to open a restaurant, they can write directly to that business development agent, or they can actually just visit our website. They can actually write to us and we will actually then channel them back to the appropriate business development agents. It's that simple.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a big thing, as you mentioned earlier, is especially during this period of time, you guys are sort of moving, forced to move more into the delivery space rather than the in-house dining experience. You know, tell me a little bit about that transition and how it's been, because I think a big appeal of Subway is that experience of going in and you go through the whole process, right? Of choosing the bread and then the cheese and then asking, okay, do you want it toasted? And you are able to look at all the toppings and see what you want. In the heat of the moment. So, you know, how has that affected you guys that a lot of the franchises have had just to shift entirely into the e-commerce space instead?
Absolutely, Christine. I think for us, it has been a game changer. Why I would say it has been a game changer. We as a company has been trying to transition to, you know, delivery or third-party delivery for the last maybe a year and a half or so. Right? So we have been trying to do this even before the COVID happens. And once when the COVID hits, I guess the acceleration of the delivery just happens naturally. For example, like the first MCO in Malaysia, I think almost 40 to 60% of our revenue basically was just delivery, right? And I do agree that, you know, we actually lose that human touch, if you could put it that way, where our sandwich artists will be able to, you know, interact with the guests. So what we have done is we have actually tried to translate that into the app with the third-party vendors, right? With the third-party delivery vendors. Although it may not be as conducive as having it directly in the store, but basically if you visit the third-party vendor app, we will actually allow you to sort of like choose, do you want your bread toaster? Do you want extra cheese? And do you really want tomatoes or take out the tomatoes and stuff like that, right? So we did try to translate it, but of course, it's not as conducive as having that personal touch, of course.
Right. And may I ask which third-party vendors you're working with for the delivery services as well?
Currently in Malaysia, we are working with the two biggest ones, which is actually Grab and Foodpanda.
Is there any strategy to choosing specifically just Grab and Foodpanda? Is it just a numbers game?
good question. No, in fact, there is. From a company standpoint, our strategy is actually to try to include at least two or three key third-party vendors, because individual vendors, they basically have their loyal supporters, they basically have intimate knowledge of their customers, right, in their database and all that. So once we actually choose two or three key vendors, there will always be some vendors that actually has unique consumers. And of course, a lot of consumers transcend across all the different apps. So what we do is when we choose our two or three different vendors, it actually allows us to reach out to as many people as possible. So that's a key strategy that we actually undertook when we actually did delivery. And like I said, we actually started to work on this maybe about a year and a half, even 2 years ago, even before the COVID.
I see. And I'm always curious about this when I ask, especially food and beverage companies that have arms in multiple countries. I'm always curious about how you guys manage and approach localization of your options or your flavors. Because, for example, as of recently, I believe the latest promotional item is the ultimate cheesy garlic bread sub.
Yes.
And there's a mac and cheese sub as well. I mean, tell me a little bit about the research that goes into deciding these special or these more localized options.
Yeah. For us, definitely, as with other brands, I think we try, first and foremost, we try to stick to our basic DNA as much as possible. That means we definitely will have a specific number of core subs, which will stay on the menu. But about 20 to 25% will be localization where, depending on the country that we are and depending on the time, of course, we will actually then find ideas from agencies, from consumers, from guests, wherever an idea that makes sense. We will most probably tie it internally first. We actually do have a test kitchen. We actually do have a process of testing product internally and externally so that we get enough data for us to decide, okay, this is what we're going to do this year. These are the subs that we're going to do this year. That's a kind of basic summary, I guess, to choosing what subs we do.
All right. Well, yeah. It's time to take a short break right now for a few messages. But after that, I will continue my conversation with Samad Sharif, who is the country director for Subway Southeast Asia and Hong Kong Macau. And we'll be talking a little bit more about their marketing strategy moving forward. I'm Christine Wong, and you are listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Samad Sharif. He is the country director for Subway Southeast Asia and Hong Kong Macau. And before the break, we were talking about the franchising model. We were talking about how Subway has had to move more into the delivery space as well. Now I have a couple of questions about your marketing strategy, because to my understanding, at the moment, you guys are targeting both the millennial and the Gen Z generations. You're sort of looking towards, your slogan is Eat Fresh, so I guess the focus is on the fresher generations in a way. So tell me a little bit about why you've decided to focus specifically on this demographic.
Well, that's a key question to us, Christine. Maybe if I could just take a step back. Subway, we have actually been in Malaysia since the year 2000. So that's almost 20, 21 years. Right? Along those years, we have definitely earned the reputation as being a QSR where you can customize. We provide you with delicious and iconic sandwiches. Right? But of course, I would say an older brand, globally we are about 56 years. In Malaysia we are 20 years. Along the way, the consumers that was most probably the younger set with you when you first started are aging on, right? So if we want to be sustainable, we then need to pivot and shift. And this is a key thought as what you mentioned, where we actually now trying to engage the millennials and Gen, because they are generally a very skeptical generation, right? A generation that is more conscious of the excesses, right? So that's where, for example, like last year, we actually did our meat stack. It is basically like a fun and refreshing way that excesses are there available for them. Even with the excesses, they can still eat fresh, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just an example of our thoughts on why we actually engage millennial and Gen Z as well.
Another thing I really wanted to talk about is, I think this is in August 2020, if I'm not mistaken, one of your marketing campaigns was this foot-long music video. This included a full-length music video, I would say kind of a parody almost of the song Footloose. And you also ran a contest as well on your TikTok channel, which you have, which was the hashtag Subway is Fresh challenge along with that, I believe. So, tell me a little bit about, delving into that and using especially a channel like TikTok and this concept of this music video to appeal to the younger generations.
Yeah, to be honest, Christine, it actually started with our understanding that, millennials and Gen Z are into mash music, right? So that's where we actually took the Footloose video to create the footlong music video as a way of celebrating, a way of stating the iconic nature of our subs, right? And connecting with this Gen.
I'm someone that sort of straddles the millennial Gen Z gap in a way.
Okay.
I have no idea what mesh music is. So, tell me a little bit about what that concept actually is. When you say mesh music, what do you mean?
Yeah, okay. Mesh music basically points to music that is combined together with music that is from different generations.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So this is where a lot of, from our understanding, this is where a lot of the millennials and Gen Z are heading into.
I see. I think I would know that by the term like mashup music, I guess.
Something like that.
All right.
But internally, we actually call it mash music. So, you know, I guess I'm using the term.
All right, sure.
I'm sorry about that.
No, totally understandable. But I was just curious to know what that term was.
Correct. And you asked about TikTok.
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, any brand nowadays, if they are not on social media, be it Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, or whatever, I think then they are not evolving, right? So for us, I think being on all these platforms is a way for us to actually reach out, connect to everyone that is out there. You know, we are also now into esports. We actually took the opportunity. If we can see in the lockdown in 2020, we collaborated with MyGameOn, and this was an opportunity for us to actually connect with fans nationwide in Malaysia as well. So all these are actually avenues or platforms which we see the potential for us to actually connect and reach out to the millennials and Gen Z, because this is where they live. Mm. This is where they thrive, right?
Yeah. Right. So you might as well go to where your consumers
yes,
are, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I'm also curious to know, I mean, since Subway's whole kind of onus is, you know, to do sort of a healthy but also affordable, you know, food for people, especially for, I guess, younger generations as well. Another sort of line in the food and beverage business that is also appealing to the same demographic and with a similar approach are, you know, health food, vegan, poke bowl style places. And these seem to be popping up like crazy, especially in the Southeast Asian region as well. So, you know, what is your approach here in holding on to your market share when so many, you know, businesses are sort of popping up to try and compete?
Well, for us, we try to stick to our basic DNA as much as possible. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, we've required innovation. We have found that over 56 years, there will always be competitors or other brands that will either try to emulate you, they will always try to imitate the successful brands, right? But if you stick to your basic DNA and make sure that you do it well, I think at the end of the day, we feel that that's our best strategy rather than trying to be jack of all trades but master of none. Mm. And if you can see, that is reflected in our menu, yeah. Right? You know, we don't try to be something which we are not, I guess, in that sense.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm also curious, you know, because it seems that a lot of F&B businesses are only now starting to come around to the idea of the customizable menu. And Subway has been doing it, as you mentioned, you know, worldwide for 56 years and in Malaysia for 20. I mean, you know, what is the appeal of this approach to the menu?
No, I think it's the theater, the whole thing, Christine, if I were to use the word. Mm-hmm. I mean, internally, we actually call it, you know, creating the craving, creating the demand, right? Mm. And again, if you ask me why some of our friends took so long to come on it, I'm really not quite sure. But for us, I think from day one, that's where our competitive advantage was, right? Because from the first step where I asked you what kind of bread do you want, to the time where I actually asked you what kind of vegetable, fresh vegetable that you want on your sub, right? It actually creates that craving of, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And the best thing about us is definitely, you know this, you know, you can actually, apart from the protein and of course the bread, you can actually add as much vegetable, as much sauce as you want. I mean, of course, I haven't tried it myself. If you add too much vegetable and maybe 10 sauces, I don't know what the taste will be like, right? But you can do it if you want to. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I definitely know that. I think I have taken advantage of that to add way too many olives onto myself too many times.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. A couple of final questions for you here, Samad. I think we'll sort of wrap up here. looking forward, especially, you know, in light of COVID-19, how the pandemic does not really seem to be budging, especially, you know, in sort of this region, in Malaysia specifically, I would say, you know, we're having a bit of trouble fighting COVID-19 at the moment. You know, is franchising still going to be Subway's main form of expansion and growth in the future, even in the light of all these lockdown restrictions and not knowing when, you know, these are going to be lifted in the future?
I would say yes at this point in time, Christine. Why I say yes at this point in time? Because that is what our success has been built, mm-hmm. right? For the last 56 years, we have been franchising and we have actually now built in Malaysia to about 250 stores, worldwide 44,000 stores. The only difference I would think in the future will be the support or the kind of stores that we will build, right? Again, with the evolution of COVID, it could be that maybe in the future, we will actually have less seating, maybe more, we can build a special takeaway counter. Those are just some ideas that we have actually been toying internally. Mm. In Malaysia especially, we're actually looking to build more drive-thru. Because Subway traditionally we have not been thriving in the drive-through space, so that could be something that we can actually work on. So those are the kind of ideas to actually just evolve from where we are. But all these stores, definitely franchising will be our main medium of expansion, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Samad. That brings us to the conclusion of this interview. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to have this chat with me all about Subway, SEA, and Hong Kong Macau.
Sure. You're most welcome, Christine. And to our listeners, thank you very much for your support to Subway for all these years.
And with that, of course, this has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and that was Samad Sharif, Country Director for Subway Southeast Asia and Hong Kong Macau, discussing how Subway has been driving the region to keep eating fresh throughout the pandemic. If you have missed any of today's show, you can go ahead and download our app. That's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to bfm.my/podcast to catch up on the podcast, as well as listen to our shows live as well. And you can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.